Tom Kim. It's always good. I love it when all the different people get up and they give offering of praise in song, whether they're singing or playing their instruments or whatever it is. It is just great to be a part of it. So take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Genesis. We are in Genesis in chapter 13. So we're continuing, going through the book of Genesis. We've just finished seeing Abram being called out of his land to a place that God said, that place where he would show them. So we're going to see how many more of those events start to take place. We're going to see some foreshadowing of other things to come, that some are great and some are just evidence of us being fallen men. So again, before we begin, let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Lord Jesus, we open your word, Lord, knowing that you are the word that became flesh. Father God, I pray as we open your word, as we read it, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us. Father, speak through me, Lord, that I might be hid and your word might be clear. Lord Jesus, I pray now, as this message is given, as the scripture is read, Father, if there's a soul that does not know you, Lord Jesus, that today we would surrender ourselves to you. And Lord, maybe there is some business that needs to be done with you, maybe amongst the saints. Father, I just pray that we would not hold back, that we would not, and I say we, meaning me, first of all. Father, that we do not assume that this message is not for us. Father, I just pray that you would have your will be done, and that, Lord, we would be obedient to you in all things. And it's in Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, if you remember, if you were here last week or watched online last week, you knew in Genesis in chapter 12, as God called Abram out, called him out of his own land, he sent him to a land that he was going to show him, and then he gave him a promise. Right? He started laying the foundation for the Abrahamic covenant. So in this covenant, he promised Abram three things. He promised him the land that his descendants would inherit. One of the things that's very important about that, because it wasn't Abram that was going to inherit that land, but his descendants. And he said, and God told him that he was going to make him a great nation, that through him, we're going to be a great nation. And he's going to further define that a little bit in chapter 13. And he also promised him that through him, all the families of the earth were going to be blessed. So that's the three-part promise of the Abrahamic covenant that God laid the foundation for in Genesis in chapter 12. Understanding that what we just came off of, you know, in Genesis chapter 11, we saw the Tower of Babel and all the things that happened in the Tower of Babel. You remember all the people were gathered together? So they decided they were going to build a tower that was up close to heaven. And if you remember why they wanted to build that tower, they said, so we can make a name for ourselves. So it's not necessarily that they wanted to get to heaven or they wanted to get to God. They just wanted to make a name for themselves. They're like, man, look what we built. You know, so their pride is what God hates. Pride, and God hates that pride. And he commanded them to scatter, to populate the earth. So they were not scattering, they were not populating the earth, and they were prideful in the boot. So God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to separate all of your languages. And so that's what he did. All of this happened. Now, after that is when God called Abram. So Abram, we saw the family tree from the Tower of Babel down through Abram's father, Terah, and saw all the things that had happened there. And then we started chapter 12 where God called him and God made promises to him. So all of that to come, all that to happen, and you remember at the second part of chapter 12, there was a famine in the land. You remember Abram went to the land of Canaan. There was a famine in the land. And y'all remember where he went?
Egypt.
He went to Egypt. Right? So he took Sarah, or Sarai at this point, because Abram was not quite Abraham yet. Sarah was still Sarai right now. So he takes them to Egypt. You remember what Abram said? man, you're a good-looking woman. And if they want to take you for their wife, remember, I'm your brother, not your husband. So, and one of the things that I failed to mention, I felt like it was going to kind of detract or distract from the message. So what Abram said was a half lie and a half truth, because Sarai was his half-sister, in case you didn't know that. So but he didn't want them to know that he was her husband, because he didn't want to get killed by the Egyptians. So, if you remember from that last part of chapter 12, God brought some plagues on Egypt because Abram, the father of the Hebrew nation, was in Egypt because of a famine. Again, that sounds familiar, right? All of this happened, and he's like, man, get out of here. Take your curses with you. So they went. Right? So that's where we're at in Genesis in chapter 13. That's where we pick it up. All right. So Genesis in chapter 13, we're going to see, and it says, verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him unto the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, if you remember that from Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, 8, and 9, after God made this covenant with Abram, when he called him out, and he tells him, I'm going to make a great nation of you, that your descendants are going to inherit this land, and through you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Abram's reaction, or Abram's answer to that promise, was worship, right? He built this altar to the Lord, and so now he is back. He's back where he built that altar, back in what will one day be Israel. So he stops there, verse 4, again, he says, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So we know that Abram started out worshiping God after God called him out, because before God called him, remember, Abram was a pagan, right? He was an idol-worshiping pagan. And God called him to make his own people out of it. So it wasn't that Abram was somehow this perfect guy, that this righteous and perfect guy that God called. You know, God can call anybody he wants, and God can save anyone whom he chooses. So we can't say, well, God's not going to call me or use me because, you know, I'm a heathen, pagan, idol worshiper. Well, you may be, but God can still call you. And if you're here, and you're a heathen, or a pagan, or an idol worshiper, let me tell you right now, God is calling you.
Amen.
Now, you would not be here if God was not in the business of calling you. So he called Abram, and all of these things that happened. So now he's back where he was. Verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. All right. Now, so Abram was rich, and Lot was rich, and y'all might be thinking, man, that must be tough. Right? That must be tough. Abram and Lot, Lot being Abram's nephew, man, they can't even stay in the same land because of all the stuff they had. That's like saying, man, my neighbor has to move because his house ain't big enough to keep all the stuff. Man, that's a terrible situation. So, God had blessed him. God blessed Lot. They had a lot of stuff. But what God was doing here, God had a plan. Just like God had a plan in the Garden of Eden when he placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just like God had a plan when he said, I repent of the fact that I ever made man, because all of his thoughts and his actions are only evil continually. And he said, I'm going to destroy all the people off the earth. God had a plan. Because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abram was the man God called. Why? Because God decided to. That's all. Right? No, not any other reason but the fact that God had mercy on him and called him. So here's Abram and Lot. They went to the land of Canaan, and they could not dwell together because they had so much stuff. They had so many animals and So they could not dwell together. Verse 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. So when Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and your herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou wilt depart unto the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, here's Abram, right? Who did God call to be the father of the Hebrew nation? Abram. Did he call Lot?
No.
No, he didn't call Lot. He called Abram. Right? He didn't call Lot out of his land. He called Abram. And here's Abram, right? There's trouble. There's strife. And what did Abram do? Abram could have said, hey, Lot, man, you need to go find someplace else. This is my land. God done told me this is my land. There's not enough for all of us, so you need to go find someplace else. That's not what Abram did. Abram said, Lot, I tell you what, you decide where you want to go. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. It's your choice. Now, what was Abram exhibiting there? Now, one of the things he was not doing, he was not exercising any kind of authority there, right? He wasn't exercising any authority. He had every right. He had every right to say, well, this is my ground. You need to get out. Have you ever kind of thought that, you know? I've told y'all before, back my one neighbor next to us, she used to have this guy mow the grass, and he always mowed my grass. And I didn't like it that he mowed my grass. Because he cut it too short. And I didn't like that. And I remember telling him, every time he'd mow the grass, I'd go out there and I'd stand there like this. And I'd wait for him to come around. I'm like, hey, pal, quit mowing my grass. You're mowing it too short. And he'd say, oh, I'm sorry. And I'd go back in my garage and I'd look. Make sure he wasn't mowing my grass still. And he did it all the time because I'm thinking, that's my land. That's my yard. Right there's the property line. Get off of it. This is what I'm thinking, right? Totally unholy, right? Not very Christian-like. Abram could have said, hey, Lot, this is my ground. This is the good ground. You're going to have to get. But what was Abram exhibiting there? Abram was exhibiting faith. He was exhibiting faith in the promise that God had given him. Right? God, again, God never said in Genesis chapter 12, he didn't say, I'm going to give you this land. He didn't say, Abram, you are going to be the sheik and the king over all of this land that will soon be Israel. He did not. He said, I'm going to give this land, whatever land you go on, and we're going to read it a little later on in the book of Genesis. Wherever you put your feet, that's the land that I'm going to give you. You, meaning your descendants. God made a promise, and Abram believed it. You know, the whole Bible, all through the Bible, we hear about Abram and how Abram's faith counted him for righteousness. Right? Not his action, not his the fact that he built an altar after God called him. That wasn't, it was the fact that he actually believed God. That's why God blessed him. That's what was counted to him as righteousness. His actions proved that he actually believed what God promised. His actions did that. And he, you know, this morning in Sunday school, I don't know if you were in Sunday school this morning or not, but we were in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul was talking about how we live a resurrected life. Abram was living a resurrected life. He was proving it. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians in chapter 3. He says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. He says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What was Abram doing? Abram wasn't fixing on the things that God promised him here on this earth. Abram was fixed on what God had promised him for all of eternity. Right? Abram knew that he wasn't going to live for all the families of the earth to be blessed. But he trusted God. And you know, that's a hard thing for us to swallow. Often we think, like I was giving that example of my grass, you know. Thinking, man, I worked on that grass, and my grass is going to be ruined all year. How selfish is that? That's pretty selfish. Right? Because I'm worried about my grass for one season. But Abram, understanding that God made this promise, he said, Lot, you choose. What do you want? He wasn't worried about it because he knew the promise of God. He knew my descendants are going to possess all of this anyway. It doesn't really matter. And let me tell you something. Whatever it is we're holding on to in this earth, whether it's our money or our job or our family or our position or our habit of coming to church or whatever it is we're holding on to that is of this earth and not of God, God is probably going to take it away. And if he doesn't take it away now, it's certainly going to burn at the last day. You know, if you remember we're in the book of Revelation, you know, the Bible tells us that everything on this earth is going to burn. Whatever is not of God is going to burn. So whatever we try to hold on to that is not eternal, it's not ours anyway. Abram understood that it wasn't his. He didn't earn it. It was a gift of God. And Abram was happy to give it away. That's the same thing with the grace of God, right? And our forgiveness. You know, often we don't exhibit that same faith that Abram exhibited when he offered whatever land Lot wanted. He knew God had, God owned all the land. And God was willing to give all the land. Just like God owns all the forgiveness. And he's willing to give all the forgiveness. But we don't hear, we receive forgiveness, but we don't want to give it. You know, we receive forgiveness, and we're like, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. And then somebody, you know, does us wrong, somebody talks bad about us, or somebody does this, bad, or the other, we're like, man, I can't stand that person. I don't want to be around them because of what they did to me. Or, no, Pastor, you don't understand what they did to me. You're probably right, I don't. But it doesn't really matter, because I guarantee you we have done worse towards God. So Abram here was exhibiting a resurrected life before there was resurrection, right? Abram was exhibiting a resurrected life. By faith, it wasn't just by faith that Abram left his land. It wasn't just by faith that Abram built an altar. It was by faith that Abram trusted the promise enough to give away what God had given him. And church, that's what we have to do is give away what God has given. Now, I'm not saying you got to sell your house and cash in your 401k and give it all to church. I don't want it. Right? I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. We have to give forgiveness. We have to give grace. We have to give what God is calling us to give. That's of our time, of our energy, of everything, of our resources. I'll just throw that in at no extra charge. We have to give all of those things because they're not ours to begin with. Right? And Abram exhibited such faith. And by this, and God recorded this through Moses by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not so we could look back and worship Abram. Now, if you're here on Sunday night and on Wednesday night, we're going through the Gospel of John, and in the Gospel of John chapter 8, you know, the Pharisees, they were doing that exact thing. They were like, well, we're Abraham's descendants. You know, we're not in captivity. We don't need anything. We're Abraham's descendants. Lord told them. You know, Jesus himself said, well, if you were actually Abraham's descendants, you would do what Abraham did. But what you're doing is you're acting like your father. The father, and your father is the devil. So, our heritage, whether we're descendants of Abraham or whether we're descendants of Jim Jones, it doesn't really matter. What matters is where our heart is and what we trust and who we believe. Abram exhibited that. You know, Abram could have said, God, I believe you. I totally believe you. But I'm going to wait before I leave my land here and go to a place where you have children. Lord, I believe you, and you promised this land to me, so I'm going to tell Lot you're going to have to find someplace else. No, Abram believed God, and he acted upon what he believed. So, Abram again, and in verse 8, Abram told Lot, we don't want any strife between me and you. We're brothers. He says, the whole land, verse 9 again, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if you take the left hand, I'm going to go right. And if you depart to the right, I'm going to go to the left. Then will I go left. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Then Lot chose him, verse 11. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. All right. Abram's focus was on God. Lot's focus was on what he saw. Right? Lot was kind of riding, kind of going along with Abram. God's promise was to Abram, for which Lot was a beneficiary. Right? Just because Lot was a beneficiary doesn't mean that Lot trusted the Lord. We just read in Colossians chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul says, keep your eyes on the things above, not on the things beneath. Right? Because we are dead. That's who we are. And later on in the book of Colossians chapter 3, he says, this is what you need to put on. You need to put on meekness and humbleness and long-suffering and forgiveness. That's what we need to put on. If we're going to live a resurrected life, other than that, we're just dead people living among dead people. Well, Lot was a dead man living with a live man in Abram, because Abram trusted God. And my question is, who do you trust? You know, and we can sit here and say, well, Pastor, I'm a church man. What do you expect? Well, Lot might have been there when Abram built the altar too, but that doesn't mean that Abram worships the Lord. That doesn't mean Lot worships the Lord. What we do, where we place our faith, our actions testify to what we believe. All of our actions testify to what we believe. And, you know, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, we're going to read it here in just a minute. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Abraham left his land. By faith Abraham did what God told him to do. It wasn't by faith Abraham said, yes, Lord, I agree. Abraham did exactly what God commanded. And that was why the Bible can say is Abram's faith is what counted him to righteousness. Not just what he thought or what he felt, but what he acted upon. Right now, I'm not saying we are saved by our actions. We're not. We're saved by what we believe. But after we acknowledge Jesus as our Savior, we repent of our sin, our faith is manifested by what we do and by who we are. If by our forgiveness, by our patience, by our long-suffering, by all of those things that the Apostle Paul mentions in Colossians chapter 3. So Abram told him, and then obviously Lot, he took the land to the east. And we read what cities were there. You remember what cities were there? Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, it's not too awful long. We're going to get to that. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? I believe it's in chapter 19 or so, where we're going to see what the Lord did with them. Lot chose it because it was pleasing to the eye. Lot was like, man, there's lots of water. The ground is fertile. Lots of trees. Everything is beautiful, so I'm going to take that. So Lot took that. Abram went the other way. Again, verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, think about this for just a minute. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. So it's like he's facing his tent towards that. So he gets up every morning, comes out of his tent, and that's what he sees. He sees Sodom. Now think about Lot's choice. It was the logical choice, right? If somebody says, here, you take this really beautiful ground that's got a river and hills and all the real fertile soil, or you can take this desert land with rocks and hills and there's no visible water, nothing. Which one do you want? Well, I'm going to take that. Well, over there is a lot of sinful people. Yeah, but I can't turn that down. I mean, it's prosperous. I can't turn it down. That's the exact same thing as saying, well, I'm going to put up with this because I have to. Well, that's the exact same thing as our compromise for our physical well-being or our physical health or our physical profit or our financial gain or whatever. We're saying, well, it just makes sense, or, well, I just have to. And often we're so guilty about it because we do it for our children. We're like, well, I'm going to blow off church, and I'm going to blow off Bible study, and we're going to blow off our prayer time and all of these other things. Well, because my kids have sports, or my kids have this, or my kids have that, or whatever. And we pretend that our sacrifice is noble. Our sacrifice is choosing evil over God. That's what our sacrifice is doing. And every time we compromise that for whatever seems to be logical, we're being Lot and not Abram. Abram chose God, right? Even when it didn't make sense, even when it cost him, Abram chose God. My question is, are you willing to choose God even when it costs you? It might cost you family, it might cost you money, it might cost you home, it might cost your health, it might cost your life. Are you willing to choose God over what makes sense? Because in the end, choosing God is what actually makes sense. You know, nobody says, Lot is not in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. There's a reason for that. You know, because Lot chose what his eyes were on the things beneath, not on the things above. And we can look at that and we can say, well, I'm more like Abram, or I'm more like Abraham. We're probably more like Lot than we care to imagine. You know, because we compromise, we tolerate, we choose the things that are evil because it looks better. It looks better to us. It looks more comfortable. You know, God, I heard a pastor say once, he said, God wants us to be comfortable. That is a lie. God doesn't care if you're comfortable. God cares if you're holy. God cares if you're surrendered to Him, if you're obedient to Him. That's what God cares about. You know, because everything else, it's all His responsibility. You know, it's not your responsibility to make yourself secure, to make yourself comfortable. It's not. You know, what did Jesus tell in the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus said, man, look at the birds. They don't, you know, they're not worried about tomorrow. They're doing what they know they're supposed to do today. They're not worried about tomorrow. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil. They don't worry. They don't go out gathering food. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not adorned in such as these. So what we're doing when we're compromising our walk with the Lord is we're saying, God, I don't believe you. Lot said, Abram, I know that this is what you said God said, but man, I can't turn that down. Yes, we can. We choose not to. We choose the world over God daily. And we see it here manifested as we see this historical narrative, this historical account of Abram and Lot. Lot chose the world. Abram chose God. Well, I mean, it's as simple as that. And we might think to ourselves, well, it makes sense. You know, don't be so hard on Lot. I'm not being hard on Lot because we're just like him. Right? You and I are so similar to him. I put myself in that at the front of the line. We're just like him. But God has shown himself faithful. So Abram, again, verse 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. God doesn't care if you're wealthy. He doesn't care if you're comfortable. He cares if you're holy. Our wickedness cannot be justified by earthly gain in any circumstance. That's not living in sin. You know, that's not saying, well, God, I know that I'm not supposed to, you know, I know I'm not supposed to cohabitate if I'm not married, but, you know, but, and then we add something. Or, Lord, you know, I know that we're not supposed to live a homosexual lifestyle, but, you know, I love this person. Or, Lord, I know that I'm not supposed to cheat on my taxes, but man, the government's a thief. And the government's a thief, by the way, I truly believe that. But that doesn't justify our sin, right? No matter what it is, it doesn't justify our sin. Lord, I know the speed limit is 65, but man, I And it doesn't justify our sin. And God rewarded Abram. He rewarded him because in the face of a logical choice, Abram chose God. Because he believed what God said. This is what God tells us. God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me.
Amen.
God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you.
Amen.
God said, through the Apostle Paul in Romans in chapter 10, he said, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved.
Amen.
That's what God says. And you can say, yeah, but nothing. Man, there's no exception, there's no correction, there's no anything. But nothing. Every time we deny him, or every time we choose the world over God, we're saying, God, I don't believe you. Just like when Abram did what Sarah said. You remember when Sarah wanted to help God with his plan? We're going to get to that not too often. And I'm not saying this to blast on Lot or to blast on Abram. I'm saying this to say we are all the same. And we have to be aware of who we are and aware of who God is and His faithfulness so that we recognize that very thing in our own heart, in our own life, and then we can repent of it before we do it and we can walk by faith just like Abram walked by faith. Let us walk by faith and trust Him enough. Trust Him enough to glorify Him, to allow our life to testify of who He is. Verse 14, we're going to continue on here. And the Lord said unto Abram, verse 14, chapter 13, book of Genesis. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Do you see that? After Lot made his choice, and Abram is dwelling in the land of Canaan, God said, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look north. Look south. Look east. Look west. Everything you see, I'm going to give you and your descendants. Everything you see. Have you ever been to that place, I think it's in Tennessee, where you can see like seven states or something like that? Isn't that what it is, seven states? What's that place called?
Lookout
Mountain. Okay, Lookout Mountain. So you're up there and you look and you see all those states. Just imagine Abram on a place very similar to that. And he's looking and God says, look north and south and east and west. Not every place you put your foot, but everywhere you see, I'm going to give you. Because Abram trusted God. That's why. Because he trusted. Now, Abram didn't see all of that come to pass. But that doesn't make it any less true that God gave it and God kept his promise. Abram believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. So, verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy descendants, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Man, God has already told him. He said, not only am I going to make of you a great nation, but your descendants are going to be more than the dust of the earth. I just spent about 3 weeks ago, I was in the desert down in Mexico. Do you know how much sand is in Mexico? Me either. The exact amount is a lot. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles in any direction. Nothing but sand. And God, you know, God was not giving hyperbole here to make a point. God said, as much as the dust of the earth, I'm going to make your descendants. When man can count the dust, they'll be able to count your descendants. Man, what a promise. And that was the least of the promises. The biggest promise was through you, all the families of the earth was going to be blessed. God told Abram, because you trust me, I'm going to bring the Messiah through you. I mean, that's So he says, verse 18, to finish chapter 13. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. The end of, or the middle of chapter 12 and the end of chapter 13, the result is the same. God gives Abram a command. Abram's response is worship. And not just worship like at an altar, but worship in obedience. God has given us a command. You remember John the Baptist in the beginning of the Gospel of John? John the Baptist had a message. Y'all could preach the exact same message that John preached. This is the message. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was John the Baptist's message. That was his whole message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the message that God has given us. And here's his promise. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You can go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you back into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Man, that's the promise God made to you. Not just to Abram, but to John, and to Phil, and to Kay, and to Jeff, and to Red, and to Leon, and Ron, and Jim, and everybody. He's given this promise to all of us if we will simply believe. If we'll simply trust them. So what's our response? Is it worship? If our response is worship and obedience, man, that promise is as good as it was to Abraham. If our worship is keeping our eyes on the things below, then our faith is the same as love. So the choice is clear. So as Ron and Jare and musicians come on up, this time of our invitation, that's what an invitation is, an invite. I'm giving you an invite to be obedient to God just like Abram was. God, remember, God called Abram, and Abram had an opportunity to be obedient, or he had an opportunity to walk his own way. Here's your opportunity to be obedient. I'm going to invite you. If God has spoken to you, if God has called you by name, maybe you are sitting there in that pew and your stomach is in a knot and your palms are sweaty. I remember the day I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I was sitting in that pew and I felt like I had a ton of bricks on my shoulders because I knew God wanted something from me. Let me tell you, the only thing God wants from you is you. That's all He wants. So I'm going to invite you. If God has spoken to you and you think, preacher, I need to ask God what it is He wants. Come, let me pray with you. If you know you need to accept Him as your Savior and your Lord, then you come. Let me show you in the Word. Let me read to you out of the Bible where what I just quoted, that God says, this is how you're saved. And it's not my words, it's God's words. Either way, God has put the world in front of you. He's put a promise and a covenant apart.